to have you, and we want you to come back every opportunity that we have. We're glad to see everybody today. We're glad that we can be together and that we can worship and serve our God. Sure, we were so shocked. When Matt Taylor called me yesterday and said that Philip had died, I just couldn't believe it. Went over there to see him a little bit later. And, boy, we're going to miss Philip. And we want to extend his family our deepest sympathy. We love him and love them. And let's do all we can to encourage them. And I'm so glad that you could be here today, that you could worship with us. We'll be speaking today about Kneel at the Cross. And I want you to pay particularly attention to some of the scriptures that dwell in the Word of God about the Lord and how that we are to meet Him at the cross. Now, this morning, before I start, I want us to sing God is so good. Even in the midst of sorrow, everything is good. Because God, whenever we have served the Lord as Philip served the Lord so faithfully, and honestly, as I talked to him, and as he has had some sickness, but this was sudden, and we just want to remember him, and we want ourselves to be ready to meet the Lord, and how much better would it be than for him to hear us sing together, God is so good. And if you will, everybody who can, would you please stand? I started to ask some of these young boys to come up here and help me sing this song this morning. I may do that later. Here we go, everybody.
God is so good.
Thank you, and please be seated. Kneel at the cross. The cross turned back to Jesus Christ. He went all the way to Golgotha and there died that ignominious death. And he died so that you and I might meet him at the cross, that we could be saved by him who suffered on the cross, by Jesus, the Son of God. We want everybody, both men, women, and boys and girls that have reached the age of accountability, to know something about the one who died on the cross of Christ. And to remember this from the lips of the Lord, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. We want to be worthy of Christ. We want to be his followers. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation, Psalms 95. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. And then, as it were a chorus, as we find in the psalmist, he writes, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. We are before him today. Early disciples came together, Acts 20 and verse 7, upon the first day of the week to break bread. We studied in our class this morning the absolute essentiality of each person in order to be acceptable unto God. We are to do God's will. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, doing what the Father's will is. As someone has prayed so frequently, Father, thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. The cross changes things. When you find the one that died upon it, there's that beautiful song that we've sung so much. I'm going to ask Freddie to lead it for us. Kneel at the cross. Freddie, what number is it? 382. Turn in your hymn book, if you will. Let's sing this song. And notice the emphasis placed here kneeling at the cross. Brother Freddie. The cross, Christ will meet you there. Intercedes for you. Lift up your voice. Leave with him your care. And begin life anew. Kneel at the cross. Kneel every care. Kneel at the cross. Kneel at the cross. Jesus will meet you there. Kneel at the cross. There is room for all who will his glory share. Bliss there awaits. Harm can there. In the word of the Lord, and as we emphasize, we want to worship our God. And how do we do it? We come before him through the one who died on that cross. There are so many people that are we find in the Bible that are recorded in it, and the way they come before God, even in prayer. I want to think with you just for a second or so concerning a few of those. For example, sometimes people stand up. In Genesis 18, verse 22, and the men turned their faces from thence. They went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. He's before whom? He's before the Lord. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, in verse 26, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying to the Lord. That's Hannah. And God gave her what she asked for. In Luke 18, verse 13, there was a man, two men really praying in the temple. And the Bible says, and the publican yet standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. No wonder then we find that sometimes people will just simply bow their heads, especially in worship. In Genesis 24, 26, and the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. In Exodus 4, 31, and the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and they worshiped. No wonder we read in Exodus chapter 2, 27, that ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians, delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and they worshiped. We're before God today. And then there are those in Nehemiah himself. In Nehemiah 1 and verse 4, came to pass, when I heard the words that came from God, it moved him. And the Bible said that I sat down, I wept, I mourned certain days, and I fasted and I prayed before the God of heaven. What did he do? He himself, when he heard the words from God, and no wonder the Bible speaks of him sitting down before God, and then there are those that are spoken of in the Bible as they're laying upon their bed, how that they pray to God. When I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches, the psalmist said. And then there are those actually who fell down on their faces before God, prostrate before the Lord. In the book of Numbers 16, verse 22, and they fell upon their faces. And they said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? They're in need. They want God's help. They're speaking to God. In Joshua 5, verse 14, he said, Nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? In the very presence of the Lord. And then we find where the Bible speaks of people kneeling. How often do you kneel? And we're speaking today about kneeling. The cross. We find in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 54, there was a great king. His name was Solomon. And it was so that when Solomon made an end of praying all of his prayer and supplication to the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. He's in a position of doing what? Of worshiping and talking with God. Friend, let me tell you, there's a number of places where the Bible speaks of kneeling. In Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, that he was not to ask a prayer, he was not to make a prayer to anyone, but to the king. He went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and he prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did beforehand. Daniel, in the presence of God, kneeling before his God. In Luke 22 and verse 41, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and he kneeled down and prayed. No wonder the Lord, even himself, knelt before God. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 4, but Peter put them all forth. Here is a woman that's dead. Tabitha, Dorcas. And the Bible says, what does Peter do? He comes down, he kneels down, and he prays. He turned to the body and said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, kneeling, praying. The posture that we take. Surely, we can be laying down on our beds. We can be on our knees. We can be face down. But our great and most important thing is to remember that we come before God in a very humble and in a way that we know God will hear us. There are so many places in the Bible that uses the word cross. Go with me right quickly, if you will. I'm going to read some of these for you quickly. Notice the word cross that I've emphasized. And he that taketh not his cross, followeth after me, is not worthy of me. Matthew 16:24, then said Jesus to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Look in Matthew 27:32, and as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, him they compelled to bear his cross, the cross of the Master. In Matthew 27:40, it says, thou that destroyest the temple, buildest it in 3 days. They're saying to him, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Speaking to the one that we need to kneel before as we come to the cross. In Matthew 27:42, he saved others. Himself he cannot save, they said. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. In Mark 8:34, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. As we proceed through the Bible, the New Testament, notice in Mark 10:21, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And he said unto him, one thing, though, that you lack. Oh, we could stop there and pause. Here we find that a man had asked Jesus, what good things shall I do that I may have everlasting life? Oh, he was a good man. He wanted to do right. He said, what good things shall I do that I might have eternal life? And Jesus spoke to him. Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And he said unto him, you got one thing that you lack. One thing you lack. And surely this young man will respond by saying, I'm ready. Tell me what it is. What is there, whatever it is I'm lacking in, I'll do it. Look what Jesus said. One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. You know the answer. The answer was this young man turned away. He turned away sorrowful, for he was a man of great possessions. He wasn't really ready to do what he said he wanted to do, and that is to follow Jesus. In Mark 15:21, and they compelled one Simon of Cyrene, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. We read again in Mark 15:30, save thyself and come down from the cross, they were saying. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him, and this was all while he was on the cross. Dying. Dying for these that were reviling him. In Luke 9:23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him die himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Luke 14:27, whosoever doth not bear his cross, come after me, cannot be my disciple. It's not possible. Luke 23:26, as they led him away, they laid upon him one Simon of Cyrene, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. No wonder we read in John 19:17, he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Our Lord, the cross. In John 19:19, Pilate wrote a title. He put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. He indeed is the King. Indeed he was. The Son of God upon the cross. John 19:25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. Women that loved the Lord. Women who were willing to do what? Follow Him. Follow Him all the way to the cross. John 19:31, the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Jesus crucified. And then as we go further into the New Testament, that word pops up to different places in different ways. For example, in 1 Corinthians 1:17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, that is, not to baptize only, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Its power is where? In the Word. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Then in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. We want it. We desire it. And God says, do it. Preach what? The preaching of the cross is to others foolishness, but to us who love God, who want to meet God, who want to live with God, to live with Him forever. To us, it is the power of God for that salvation. Galatians 5, verse 11, I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Paul knew what he had to do. He was willing to do it. In Galatians 6 and verse 12, and as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. What he's really saying is, here are people that will not pay attention to what the cross is all about and the teaching that's found concerning it. In Galatians 6, verse 14, one of my favorite passages I memorized years ago. But God forbid that I should glory. The words of Paul, dynamic speaker, powerful man, loved God, loved Jesus. And he said, forbid it that I should glory. Save in the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me, and I unto the world. Let my glory be in the cross. Not in me, but in Him. Over in Galatians 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Galatians 2 verse 20. In Ephesians 2:16, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Where? At the cross. Because no, it's not male or female. It's not black or white. It's not Jew or Gentile. All are one. Where? At the cross. Because of Him who died on that cross. In Philippians 2 and verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Jesus was willing to suffer it for us. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies. Don't be. Pray God that we'll never be the enemies of the cross of Christ. Colossians 1 verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Where? At the cross. In the book of Colossians 2 and verse 14, a passage that is so interesting and yet so dynamic. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, and which was contrary to us. The Old Testament we're no longer under. Jew or Gentile matters not. male or female, circumcised or uncircumcised. These things were contrary to us. He took it out of the way. Where? Nailing it to His cross. That's what Christ did when He died upon the cross. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and to sit down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Where? At the cross. Are we willing then to kneel at the cross? And then go forth and take the message to others that we have learned that He has shared with us about the cross. Ah, how great God is to give us this wonderful blessing of what Jesus then challenges each person. He said, a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. What? Don't love them more than me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. That just seems to love them less. Sure, you're to love your mother and your daddy. Sure, you're to love your children. But who is the first love of your life? Jesus. Why? Because of the cross. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me, he is not worthy. Not worthy of me. Because of all what he did at the cross. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And remember, he said, and whosoever should give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only, in the name of a disciple, I say unto you verily, he shall in no wise lose his reward. When you look at the cross, we want to be followers of the cross. We want to kneel and take up our cross and follow after Jesus. Remember the words of that song, kneel at the cross. Guess what? Once you're there, you find by your obedience to Him on the cross, pardon, paid in full. You now, once you're baptized into Jesus, one of His, a disciple of Jesus. Oh, we want to live right, don't we? Somebody wrote 10 things that you'll never regret. Listen to these things. He says, number one, for good, doing good to all. You'll never regret that. Two, for speaking evil of no one. You won't regret that. And number three, for hearing before you jump to judgment. You'll listen first. You won't forget that. For thinking before speaking. You won't regret that. For holding an angry tongue. Don't let it slip. Angry words. Oh, how they destroy. For being kind to those who are trodden, distressed. You're never going to forget that or regret that. For asking pardon when you sinned for the wrongs that you've done, you won't ever forget that. For being patient toward everybody, your family, your loved ones. Not going to forget that. For stopping the ear to someone that is telling you a tale as a tale bearer. You'll be glad you closed your ear. For disbelieving most of the evil reports. And you're not going to forget that. I say to you this morning in conclusion, when we kneel at the cross and we meet Him there, what a refreshing thing to know Guy McDaniel Center can be a servant of the one who died that ignominious, terrible death upon the cross of Jesus Christ. He's waiting for you. He's waiting because He bore that cross. If you're not a Christian this morning, believe Him, won't you? Repent of your sins, confess Him, and yes, be baptized right now for the remission of your sins. And if you're a child of God and you haven't been faithful, oh, please get your life right with God. Remember what He tells you. He wants you to come back to Him. Come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. We're singing this beautiful, wonderful hymn. Is your heart right with God? If we can help you in any way today, won't you come and obey God while together we stand?